You are listening to a Hillbilly Horror Stories Patreon bonus preview. If you like what you're hearing, stick around to the end to find out how you can get more. Hey guys, welcome to episode 1480 of Hillbilly Shorts.
Hello, my lovely Liz.
Tracy, we're going to talk about some items today that are at a place that we visited.
Okay.
In Philadelphia.
Yeah, y'all.
The Mooter Museum.
Is it Mooter? Oh, it is Mooter.
Yeah.
Because I was wanting to say something different.
It's spelled M-U-T-T-E-R, yeah. But it's the U with the two dots over top. And yeah. It's Mooter, I think, is what it is.
Okay. That was a cool place.
For those of you who aren't familiar with this place, it's a mostly medical museum, but it's got like all kinds of weird anomalies, like a bunch of weird things in glass bottles. Like cysts and animals that had like two heads, and
it's a very interesting. You could spend the whole entire day in there for sure, looking at all that stuff.
Yeah, it's absolutely cool as could be, and that was one of the places that I definitely wanted to go when we went there. So we did.
There you go.
Here's the first thing that's there: a genital warts necklace.
Well, that is disgusting. I don't think I've seen that one.
Well, that place is big. There were so many things to see.
Why would you wear a genital warts necklace?
I don't know that people wore it. Let's see. In 1813, a physician by the name of H.F. Nordman said, "Nothing is more satisfactory than the treatment of a venereal warts." The genital warts on display at the Mooter Museum are helpfully strung like a necklace to make studying them easier. So it's not a real necklace somebody would wear. It was put in a pearl necklace type form.
Oh, so they could study it.
So they could study it easier. You'd have them all together, I guess.
Is that like skin tags, big skin tags, or what is that?
Somewhat, yeah.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
In the 21st century, lasers and liquid nitrogen are used to remove and freeze genital warts. Doctors numb the area with a local anesthetic beforehand. Warts in the 19th century were burned off with nitric acid.
Okay, let me ask you this. Which way would you rather have it? Burned off or shredded off with nitrous or that ice stuff?
Well, I'll tell you a little something. Not for that part of it, but you know I've got an issue with skin tags like underneath my arm. Mm-hmm. Oh, it also says a shot in the groin with an 8% solution of cocaine was the anesthetic they used back then.
Well, hell yeah.
I had somebody give me something one time that was for that. Mm-hmm. And it literally was like an acid type stuff. Mm-hmm. You put a drop on it, mm-hmm. and it burnt like hell and it irritated the skin all around it. So, I mean, I know that says that's what they did back in the 19th century, but I know 20 years ago, whatever they gave me was like that. It wouldn't. And then I ended up getting some of the nitric oxide or whatever mm-hmm. that is, mm-hmm. the frozen stuff that you just spray on it and it freezes it.
Yeah.
But before that, what I had on it was literally some type of an acid.
So you didn't like that?
No.
Did it come off?
Yeah. And what it did, it killed it, just like the other thing
does.
And it
like dried up and turned black and fell off?
Yeah, but it irritated, it burnt the
skin around it.
Because here's the problem. I put it on my armpit. Mm-hmm. And then when I closed my armpit, it smeared all under my, and my whole armpit was like that. It was, the whole armpit was just red and irritated.
Well, did you put too much on?
Well, yeah, but it's because when you close your armpit,
it
spreads.
I get that, but...
Oh. Well, I'm sure I did. Because I had like three or four of them I was trying to get rid of. And I wasn't trying to know one at a time. Now we spent almost this whole episode talking about genital warts and armpits. There's two jars filled completely with human skin. The Mooter received a special gift from a 23-year-old woman in 2009. Two jars filled with skin pickings and peelings from her feet.
Nice.
Her identity is unknown, but it's clear she suffers from dermatillomania, the obsessive compulsive need to pick, mm-hmm. peel, and scratch at one's own skin, which can lead to scarring, discoloration, and in extreme cases, tissue damage, which is why I will not peel your skin when you have sunburn.
Oh. Well, I just saw Dr. Pimple Popper did an episode on that, and the lady thought it was some kind of something, but she said it was kind of all in her head, And she was really just picking at it and making it sore. You know what I'm saying? Like right. she, but, and then I watched another show the other night that this other doctor took off 270 skin tags.
Oh, I saw that one.
Did you see that
one? I saw part of it.
Yeah, it was ended up being 270 skin tags off that person.
All right, this is one we saw. A 40-pound colon.
Oh, yeah, we did see that.
Hirschsprung's disease, a congenital condition, resulted in undeveloped nerves in the colon, caused this man's colon to grow to 8.5 feet long, stretch 2.5 feet in diameter, and fill with 40 pounds of feces at the time of death.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine how uncomfortable he was?
Corrective surgery was uncommon in the 19th century and deemed too risky. Making the most of the situation, the owner of this swollen colon dubbed himself Balloon Man and Windbag and performed in freak shows, charging a dime a peek. Balloon Man passed in 1892 at the age of 29 after 9 years of appearing in freak shows. By age 16, Windbag was defecating as little as just once a month.
Okay, wait. How did they see his colon?
They weren't. They were just seeing his stomach because his stomach
was so big.
His stomach almost looked like he was pregnant.
Oh, that man, he had to be in so much pain. That poor guy.
Yep. All right, guys, that wraps it up for today, but we're going to be back tomorrow because we've got a bunch more of these.
Yeah, tomorrow we're going to talk about, no, I don't know what we're going
to
talk about.
You have no idea. I was just waiting to see what you're going to come up with. It's all gross. All right, we love you guys. 1481 of Hillbilly Shorts.
Hey, guys.
So, Tracy.
What?
We're back with the Mutter Museum. And the very first thing up for topic today, syphilis face wax figure.
Well, okay.
In the 19th century, only criminals' remains were disseminated and publicly displayed. Since most regular folks didn't want to associate themselves with that element, it wasn't fashionable to donate your body to science. Thus, grave robbing was popular, as were moulages, or wax sculptures, such as the one pictured above, which depicts someone with late-stage syphilis. It's like their whole nose is eaten off and the whole center of their face is.
Oh, Lord have mercy. That's awful.
How would this patient be treated? They'd be locked in a box with mercury fumes, which usually ended the patient before the syphilis did.
What?
Well, I mean, they didn't know how to cure it. Mercury fumes.
Aww.
These old style remedies of how they thought what stuff would take care of. These home remedies and stuff that they thought would cure some of these diseases just amaze me.
Gosh, that's so sad for that person.
Yeah, that's incredible. Human horn growing out of a woman's forehead.
Oh.
A horn growing from a woman's forehead is on display at the Mutter Museum. It's a moulage, a medical sculpture made using techniques dating back to Renaissance. Moulages led to a number of important developments in medicine. The woman on whom the Mutter's human horn moulage is based had her protuberance removed after 6 years of growth.
Oh, my goodness. I don't remember seeing that. Did you?
No.
Gosh,
so like I said,
imagine?
That place was so big, though. There were
yeah,
so many
true.
Things.
That is
and they had
amazing.
Some of it that weren't on display. Remember, they had a room or two that was blocked off for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Fairy tale deformities. The Brothers Grimm version of Cinderella was quite gruesome. The stepsisters cut off their toes and heels to fit into the slipper. In 2012, on the 200th anniversary of the publication of Grimm's Fairy Tales, Mutter celebrated with a rare illustrated volumes of the book and a skeletal bound foot to explore the medical aspects of this and the gory stories.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, that's a messed up foot.
I mean, ugh. I get they wanted the slipper and everything, but I mean, what would do they think their husband was going to think about when they took the slipper off?
Because it didn't matter. If it fit,
no
it fit.
Toes.
If the shoe fits. Regardless of how.
Yeah, but if you have a foot fetish, they got screwed.
Henry Raymond's Eastlack's calcified skeleton. Henry Raymond Eastlack was born in 1933. At age 5, he broke his leg. The break did not set properly. His joints stiffened. The bone grew in and on his thigh muscles, and Eastlack was diagnosed with fibrodysplasia, something, some long-ass word, FOP. With this rare disease, even minor trauma causes bones to form in muscles, tendons, and ligaments.
That poor child.
Bones grew over the joints, too, surrounding the person in a skeletal prison. With no effective treatment available, Eastlack passed in 1973 of pneumonia. At the time, he was only able to move his lips.
Oh!
Oh, that picture's freaky.
Oh, my gosh.
Soap Lady. The Soap Lady is almost 2 centuries old and wrapped in adipocere, a waxy, greasy, soap-like substance found on cadavers that develops from the body fat when moisture and bacteria are present and the air is not. Adipocere slows or halts decomposition, much like mummification. Exhumed in 1875, the body is covered in and partially intact clothes and jewelry. Based on the manufacturer date of the buttons, she was alive in the 1830s. Autopsies concluded that she passed around the age of 30.
Hmm. People just died so young back in those days.
That's Einstein's gross. Brain. Thomas Stoltz Harvey, pathologist on call at Princeton Hospital when Albert Einstein passed in 1955, took Einstein's brain and cut it into 170 pieces. He then stashed it under his desk in a cider box under a beer cooler. Is this physical evidence of Einstein's gene? Einstein's.
We saw that, didn't we?
Einstein's, yes. Genius, his remarkably large inferior parietal lobe, and a missing Sylvanian fissure suggest he may have possessed sensory information differently than the rest of us, average intelligent mortals. You know, that guy wasn't supposed to take his brain. He took it on his own. It was his brain, I think, was supposed to be left, and the body, I think, was either cremated or buried, and he took his brain without approval.
I mean, why didn't he get in trouble for that?
I don't know.
I guess what's the point of it now after the fact, right?
Yeah, I guess so. All right, guys, that wraps up this one. We got more tomorrow.
Yay.
We'll finish it up tomorrow. Hey, guys, if you like what you just heard, we do 6 of those small bonus episodes every single week. We also do 2 full-length bonus episodes every month. We do a listener stories episode and then a story that's just like the ones you would typically hear on the regular feed. If you're interested in supporting us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com and look up Hillbilly Horror Stories, or go to hillbillyhorrorstories.com and there's a direct link right there. Thank you guys so much for what you do for us.